Hi, this is Pastor Curtis Crawford welcoming you to our podcast. At Revive Outreach Church, we're striving to revive an awareness of Christ in our communities through Christ-centered compassion, service, and evangelism. You can learn more about us online at www.reviveoc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/reviveoutreachchurch. We hope that you enjoy this message, and God bless.
We've looked so far at the life of Saul in the last couple of weeks, and we've looked at his just amazing transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit and how God changed his life. And we looked at how when Saul was changed, that those who were once his allies became his enemies, and those who were once his enemies became his allies. He switched teams, and those who he had loved him and adored him and were so supported him and the harm he was causing to the church, they turned against him and they tried to kill him. Not just once, but twice in chapter 9 alone. And then where we left off last week is that Saul now has, because of the second attempt on his life, when he had returned to Jerusalem, Saul has now went back to home, his hometown, Tarsus. So he's gone there. And so for a moment in time, Saul is out of the picture as it relates to the church. We don't know exactly what he was doing during this time. Some speculate that he was preaching and starting some churches in that area of the world. But the truth is, no one knows for sure what he was doing during this time. Only thing we know is that Luke skips from Saul as he goes on this sabbatical, if you will, after escaping from the Jews in Jerusalem. And now we pick up with Peter again. Now, we haven't talked about Peter in a while. But now we're picking up here in Acts chapter 9 with Peter, starting with verse 32. Now, I'm going to try to articulate today, hopefully, a couple of points that you guys will be able to take home with you. I'm just praying God will help me present it the way that it is in my heart. Verse 32, now it came to pass as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. And then there he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden 8 years and was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then he arose immediately. So all who dwelt at Lydda, and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. So I'll stop here just for a moment to reiterate, as we have discussed multiple times here in the book of Acts, as it relates to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit, his spiritual gifts and the ability that was granted to those to heal. The Holy Spirit, his spiritual gifts, and how that as the apostles traveled and they healed folks, that it was done for one reason, and that reason was to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to lead, to give a legitimacy to the word, to the message that was being spoken as it relates to the message of Christ. And we have here in verse 32, there's no difference. Peter is traveling. He comes upon a man who's been lame. And you'll notice very quickly as he approaches the man that's been lame that he says to him, very simply, Jesus the Christ heals you. He did not take the credit for himself. He didn't say be healed. He didn't do any of that. He said, Jesus the Christ heals you. And as you'll know, he did the same thing, right? In the name of Jesus Christ, I don't have, but in the name of Jesus, rise up, you know, right? Get up. Peter, that's what he did. Whenever he performed something mighty, as we see here in Scripture, he always gave Jesus the credit. Right? He always made sure that people knew it was Jesus doing the work, not him. Jesus the Christ wants to heal you. Jesus the Christ is going to heal you. Jesus the Christ has healed you. And so we must strive as we serve God, as we go forth, and he uses us to always point people back to Christ. Do not become arrogant and believe that somehow God's work is dependent upon me or you, because it is not. It is a privilege to serve God. It is a privilege to be used by God. It is a privilege for him to allow us to accomplish his plan and purpose in us. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. And we cannot take that for granted. We must appreciate what God gives us. And so every time that God uses us, we must make sure that we point back to Christ. Now let's look to verse 36. And at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. The woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. And then Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was still with them. So we're going to break this in to two parts here, this story. So I hope that I want you guys to keep up with me. So there's this lady who everyone loves, Tabitha or Dorcas. Either way, it means gazelle. And she is so revered by the community that when she passes away, they don't want to see her go. What should have happened is that when she died, she should have been buried as fast as possible. That's the way the Jews do it. But instead, they have another plan. They took her, they cleaned her, they anointed her, they put her in the bedroom upstairs. Why? Because their plan was to send for Peter and see if Peter couldn't do something about this. They didn't want to lose her. She had meant so much to her community, to the widows in that community, to the people in that community, that when she passed away, they felt like they could not live without her. They felt like that she was such an integral part of that community and what she did for those who were less fortunate, that when she passed away, they made a plan to go get Peter, to have Peter come and resurrect her, because she had such an impact on the community. What was her impact? She made clothing, right? Because when Peter shows up, the Bible says that the widows brought forth all these articles of clothing. She made underwear. Seriously, that's what that means. She made tight-fitting undergarments, and then she also made beautiful outerwear. She made both. She was a seamstress, and she was gifted seamstress, and she did not allow that gift to go unused, and so she took what God gave her, and she used it to impact her community. I don't know about you, but other than maybe my wife and my children, when I die, ain't nobody going to be trying to bring me back to life again. Right? When we look at our lives, when you look at what you've done for God, what you've done for your community, are you as integral as Tabitha was? Where people would say, we just don't want to live without her. We don't want to live without him. Look at what that person did. Look at what she did. Look at what he did to help the community around them. See, we take for granted the opportunity that God gives us and the giftedness that God gives us. See, Tabitha was a seamstress. She was a worker, and she used her ability to sew, to minister to the community around her and change lives. She clearly changed lives with the gift that God had given her. But so many times, you and I are awaiting to get up on a stage or to be recognized or to be praised or to get into a position where we feel like we can have the most impact and the most eyes looking at us, right? And so we wait and wait and do not work where God has for us to work and do not do what God has for us to do and leverage what he has blessed us with at that time, because we're waiting for something bigger to come along.
Amen.
If Tabitha had waited and only used her gift for her family, she would have died and no one would have cared, except her family. But because she used the gift that God gave her unselfishly where she was at, and she recognized that she could impact the lives of those who are less fortunate, the widows in particular, she used it and she impacted those lives to the point that the people felt like they could not live without her. I hope that I'm drilling this point home to you this morning, that if you want to be remembered in the kingdom of God, you work with what you have, where you're at, no matter how small you think it is.
Amen.
The big names that get up there and they're up in TVs and they're preaching, God bless them. But ministry happens on the street, not in airplanes. Ministry happens on the street and the lives of people, making clothes, feeding the hungry, ministering to those who have been caught in addiction. That's where ministry happens. Ministry does not happen in a pulpit.
Amen.
You can be the best orator in the world, but not affect the amount of lives of someone who simply feeds people with what they have. A little boy with loaves and fish fed 5,000 people because of his obedience to God with what he had.
Amen.
More so than any other person in that crowd.
Amen.
He impacted their lives so much so that it's recorded in Scripture. That wasn't just a miracle that Jesus did. That was a miracle that God used a little boy to do. To sacrifice a little bit that he had that didn't seem like enough to feed 5,000 people. You and I have what we may consider to be a little bit where we're at, but God will multiply that little bit so that you do the amount of ministry that can reach the people that are directly in your life. If you are waiting for a stage, if you are waiting for something else to come or line up so that you can be what you think God wants you to be, you are waiting in vain.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
If you are stuck in the past of what you used to do and what you used to be, then you are not moving into the future of what God has for you to be.
Amen.
If you're living in the past of how you used to minister, the way God used to use you, the way that God used you years past, if you're still stuck in that, then God can't use you in the present.
Amen.
Because the present need is not always the same as the past need.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. That's good.
That's right. Yes.
Right? I need to be in the present, even if it means for me taking what I consider to be a little thing that I'm maybe not talented in my own opinion, but using it where I'm at, and God will multiply and impact the community.
Amen.
We must not get stuck in what was or stuck in what we're waiting to happen.
Amen.
But be used right where you're at. Mm. Nothing should be above you and I. Maybe I said that wrong. We shouldn't feel like we're above tasks,
right, man,
that God has for us. We shouldn't feel like we've arrived at some location in our lives where we're too good to do things.
Right?
Right? We shouldn't feel like we've arrived in a place in our lives where we'll leave that to the little people. Where we feel like, well, you know, let's let them handle that. Right? The truth is that God wants to use us where we're at in the tasks that are available to us. And if we're waiting for something we think we're worthy of, we're going to be waiting for a long time. Because many times my opinion of myself is much greater than what I'm actually capable of doing. Oh, goodness, that's a message right there. I've got an opinion of myself, so I refuse to sow. Because I'm waiting on something bigger. Oh, God, don't you see my big talents and my big abilities? Don't you see all these things? Oh, God, you got something greater for me. I used to be that person. That person that always dreamed of something greater, standing in front of thousands of people speaking. I'm not that person anymore. Do I want to see the church grow? More than anything in my life, I want to see people's lives change and see the church filled. God knows my heart. But it's not a goal of preaching to faces any longer and not meaning and making an impact.
Amen.
Right? Let's not be limited by our egos. Mm. And let's not be limited by our pride and self-pity. Because the devil loves to use both.
Amen.
Self-pity, you're not equipped, you're not good enough, you don't make a difference, you can't make a difference. You've done this, you've done that. You're not as gifted as that person. You're not, for goodness sakes, if I'm waiting to be a pastor until the day that I could sing, I still would not be a pastor. If I was waiting to be a pastor to the day that I could sing like a nightingale, I still would not be a pastor. If I was waiting to be a pastor to the day that I could understand all scripture, I still would not be a pastor. If I'm waiting to be everything I think I have to be used by God, I'm wasting time.
Amen.
And God is telling us today we need to be like Tabitha. Work where you're at. Serve with where you're at. Tabitha, I'm sure, was busy. I'm sure she had her own household to take care of. She had her own family to take care of. But even with taking care of all of her own family, she impacted her community.
Amen.
Everybody's busy. Everybody's busy. The question is, do you lay aside your busyness to serve God?
Wow.
What do we weigh busy versus necessity? Right? We can all find something to be busy doing rather than serving God. All of us can. Look, that's a hard truth, but that is a fact. So if our busyness is keeping us from being like Tabitha and serving where we're at, then we need to reprioritize our lives.
Amen.
And we got to make sure that we don't use the blessings that God's given us as an excuse to not accomplish the purpose that God's given us.
Right.
When I was when I first got married, I've told you guys this story before. I made an X amount of dollars. And I remember thinking to myself, if I could just get to this level. If I could just get to this level, if I could just get to this level, if I could just get to this level, and constantly wanting more, God would bless me, and He would have mercy, and He would bless my family, but I always wanted something more.
Amen.
And what I found is over time, I had put myself into wanting that more, and I had put myself in the blessing that God had given to me, and I had put God out, and I relished in the blessing. It's like, remember Scrooge McDuck? What did Scrooge McDuck do in the cartoon? He would dive in his safe and wallow in all of his money. He literally swam in it.
Yeah.
He was swimming in the blessing. Meanwhile, people around him starving to death.
Yeah.
What good is swimming in your blessing while the people around you are suffering?
Amen.
What good is it for me to swim in my blessing and not change the world around me? I'm guilty of swimming in my blessing, swimming in what God blessed me with, and then being distracted by that and not accomplishing the purpose that He has for me, or allowing my zeal, my excitement, my passion, right, to be affected negatively because I'm so distracted by what God has given me. Right? That's why the Bible says it is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. Because a rich man is distracted by his blessings and believes that so he doesn't see his need for God.
Wow.
You and I must strive not to be distracted by our blessings, by our busyness, by the things in our lives which we see as good things. They're not bad things necessarily, but they become idols on our mantle if we worship them and serve them instead of God.
Amen.
Right? And so we need to be like Tabitha. Use where God uses us. Be willing to serve where God has placed us. Make those outfits, you know, for the widows who have been cast aside. Make those outfits for those who don't have. She didn't do it for the prestige. I guarantee when this lady died, she was not thinking that they were going to be so loving her that they would send for Peter to raise her up again. Oh, that's another mark of someone who's really been used by God, is that they're humble. Mm-hmm. When God starts using us, that we're so busy thinking about how great we are and how lucky God is to have us. I'm sure when she passed away, she didn't even think twice about the impact she was having. I've only known one person in my whole life, and I will not say that person's name, but there's one person that I've known my whole life that is like Tabitha. Always willing to give and serve despite the impact on them. Mm-hmm. Always willing to use what God had given them at that moment for everybody else and not use it for themselves. my whole life. To not make excuses when the excuses were there. Oh, I've got to take care of these things by myself. I'm alone now, so I can't serve God anymore. Or I'm too busy to teach this class. Or I'm too busy to do that. Sacrificing. Being a Christian is not meant to be living on a yacht and beautiful blue waters, getting everything served to us. Being a Christian means getting dirty, getting gross, being tired. Goodness gracious, it means being tired. I mean, I'm sorry, but that is a fact. Because we are putting the needs of others before our own needs. I'm sure Tabitha worked late into the night and lost hours sleep to make sure these people had clothing to wear. When's the last time you and I stayed up late at night to make sure that we could serve God? You know what I'm saying? To give up awesome sleep because we knew we had to get up early and go to work the next morning. How many times have you and I prayed late into the night for someone knowing we had to get up at 6 in the morning or 5 in the morning and just a few hours to go to work, but we were willing to give up something that was precious to us because the person that we're interceding for, the person that we're serving is more important than my personal happiness.
Wow.
How much would the church grow if we had a church of Tabithas? And I'm talking to myself too. People willing to serve with what they got, where they're at, no matter what it costs. Because the truth is, the legacy that you leave will not be your money. It will not be your house. The enduring legacy that you leave will be the loaves and fishes that you handed to God and said, use these. That'll be the legacy. The legacy will be what we did for the kingdom. Eternal value. That's our legacy. Money goes by the wayside. Fame goes by the wayside. Talents dry up. There'll be a day, someday down the road, where I won't be able to stand up and preach. I won't be able to work in the altars. There'll be a day when my talents are used up, where my physical gifts aren't what they used to be. So what am I leaving? A legacy can endure age if we can serve, continue to serve God in what we have. Wow. Stop living in the past of what we used to do. Stop waiting for God to bring something into our lives so we can do what we think we're worthy of. But serving God right where we're at with what God has given us. Achy body parts and all. There's a woman in this congregation right now who's 71 years old who can outwork everyone sitting in these chairs.
She ain't never lied.
She goes to bed at 10 o'clock at night and she gets up at 3:30 in the morning. She was here Friday night at this church cleaning the church because the person who was supposed to clean it couldn't do it. I didn't even know she was doing that. And I'm not trying to embarrass her. I'm trying to say that me and my 41-year-old self should be ashamed that my mother, who's 71 years old, can do that, and I don't want to get up in bed before 9 o'clock in the morning. Hard truth, ain't it?
Yeah.
The reason the church can't grow is because we don't have enough people willing to sacrifice that.
Amen.
We don't have enough people willing to give up what they have to serve God.
Amen.
That is a fact.
Amen.
So we have a choice to make. Are we going to be like Tabitha? Are we going to be like Simon the sorcerer that we looked at before? Tabitha, who served without looking for reward. Simon the sorcerer that won the ability to lay his hands on those so they could receive the Holy Spirit because he wanted to be followed. Which are we? Tabitha, the worker, or Simon, the one who was full of pride and arrogance that wanted to be honored? I think we're all guilty.
Amen.
I'm guilty of wanting to be honored instead of just serving. You think there isn't a time where I feel unappreciated? Is there not times in your lives that you feel unappreciated? Mm-hmm. The mark of someone who loves God more than themselves is someone who will operate even when they feel unappreciated.
Amen.
Because their appreciation doesn't come from man. Their appreciation comes from God.
That's right.
There's been more than one Sunday where I only got up here because of God. There's been more than one Sunday, right? And I'm sure you, there's things in your lives where there's been more than one time where you went and did something. The only reason you did it was because of God. You wouldn't have been there otherwise. That's the attitude that has to prevail in our churches. Serve others first. Give them the head of the table. Wash their feet. Be like Tabitha.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope that you enjoyed it and were blessed by it. Each month, we have people from all over the world who listen to the messages made available. If you've been blessed by this ministry, would you consider making a donation of any amount to help support us as we continue to reach a loss for Christ? Donations can be made online at www.reviveoc.org or by check at Revive Outreach Church, 411 Chatham Heights Road, Suite 101, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22405. Thank you for your prayers and your continued support. May God richly bless you.